Yes, a 90s era buddy comedy. One of the leads is a wisecracking black dude, and the other a straight-laced white dude. I don't think it's ever been done before. Or maybe it's never been done better. Hello, everyone out there in my random casual family. My name is Rodney, and this is Random Casual Reviews, where we don't need a reason, nor do we need the expertise to just talk about the things we like. That's right, you can review things too. First of all, if you're watching one of our videos for the first time, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. Also, we want to remind you that this episode of Random Casual Reviews, along with every episode of Random Casual Reviews, is available as a podcast. Currently, we're available on Google Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, and Stitcher, with more platforms to come. So, if you like the audio content, but you don't want to see my bearded face, just search Random Casual Reviews in your favorite podcast place. All right, let's get started. Nothing to Lose, starring Martin Lawrence and Tim Robbins? That is quite an unlikely duo, but that's kind of how buddy comedy works. You know, you mix two disparate things together and kind of see what happens. It's kind of like a guy that works a regular job, but is also producing YouTube videos, right? Anyway, can both of those things really exist in the same universe? You know, we're still trying to find out. Before I get into the plot of Nothing to Lose, I should let you know that Nothing to Lose is rated R. I really don't know why I do this, you know, with the American Sign Language for the letter R, whenever I'm thinking the letter R. I just, you know, I don't know why I do that. But anyway, the movie features a 1990s era Martin Lawrence, so yeah, it's definitely going to be rated R because Martin Lawrence back then, I mean, probably still today, used a lot of, you know, colorful language, shall we say. But worry not, my random casual family, because here at Random Casual Reviews, we're a family, and this is a family show. So we don't use colorful language here, but I just want to let you know that the movie definitely uses colorful language. So, Nothing to Lose is set in a 1990s era Los Angeles, and it's about a successful advertising executive named Nick Beam, played by Tim Robbins. Now, you might remember Tim Robbins from another 1990s era buddy comedy where he's teamed up with a black dude. Whatever. Am I the only one that doesn't think Shawshank Redemption is a comedy? Listen, throw a laugh track behind that scene with Rita Hayworth and the poster, and you'll be laughing your butt off. It's hilarious.
I want him found. Not tomorrow, not after breakfast, now!
Yes, sir!
Let's go, let's go. Move your butts. Move it!
Well.
What?
I see you two all the time. You're thick as thieves, you are. He must have said something.
Also, Orton. Not a word.
Lord, it's a miracle! Man up and vanished like a fart in the wind. Damn rocks on the windowsill. And that cupcake on the wall. Let's ask her. Maybe she knows. What say you there, fussy britches? Feel like talking? Why should she be any different? This is a conspiracy. That's what this is. One big damn conspiracy! And everyone's in on it!
Thank you.
Beam is pretty happy with his life overall, until one day, the man decides to come home early from work. Guys, let me just say this. Don't come home early from work, okay? You're not gonna like what you're gonna find, plus, you might need that time to yourself. In the case of Nick Beam, he definitely didn't like what he found. Basically, just like Ronald Isley in that song Contagious, if you know, you know. He hears a noise coming from upstairs. No one is supposed to be home, so Nick Beam hastily grabs a weapon and starts to go upstairs. The weapon, in this case, is a candlestick, which is very Clue of him. Anyway, he follows the noise upstairs and kind of creeps open the bedroom door, and he sees, he sees his wife, Anne, having sex with another man. Nick doesn't really say anything, but he's obviously dejected and full of heartache at this point. Without confronting her or even making a noise, he slowly walks downstairs and sees his boss's cufflinks on the kitchen counter, which leads Nick to the inevitable conclusion that the man Anne has been sleeping with is his boss, a man named Philip. The man Anne, that rhymes. You know, I love it when life delivers us random poetry. This is Random Casual Reviews, after all. Anyway, still dejected, Nick quietly leaves his house, gets into his vehicle, and starts aimlessly kind of driving through the LA traffic. Very aimlessly, not watching where he's going, not really, you know, keeping up with the traffic. His meandering leads him to drive through the rougher part of LA, you know, all those places you heard about in every Ice Cube song back in the 90s. Anyway, Nick Beam stops at a stop sign in this rough neighborhood, and through the passenger door, someone sticks a gun to his temple. It's a mugger, and the mugger basically says, "Come on, cars, keys, wallet now," again, with a gun to his head. Now, I don't know why, but that whole scene right there, cars, keys, wallet now, it stuck in my head. And it's kind of the same thing I think about before I leave the house, you know, make sure I have everything. You know, cars, keys, wallet. Okay, I'm good. Cars, keys, wallet, you know. But anyway, by the way, this mugger is kind of where our buddy in this buddy comedy comes to play. It's Martin Lawrence, everybody. Martin Lawrence with a gun in his hand. Nick Beam, again, having gone through what he just went through, not only was he not afraid of the mugger, but he didn't care about being mugged. So I guess his whole feelings of feeling, you know, dejected and heartbroken were also coupled with feelings of suicidal thoughts, because instead of giving up his cars, keys, and wallet, he just slams on the gas and kind of starts careening through the LA traffic like a madman. And of course, this frightens our mugger, so the mugger is no longer thinking of, you know, robbing this guy. He just wants to get the heck out of the vehicle. But Nick Beam locks the door and doesn't let him go, and keeps careening through the traffic. Anyway, I guess out of fear, our mugger, again, played by Martin Lawrence, kind of, passes out and kind of falls asleep in the seat next to him. A little bit of time passes, and it turns out Nick drove to the middle of a desert somewhere in California. And, stops the car at one of those desert diners you might see on the side of the road in California. The long and short of it is that they end up striking up a conversation, you know, kind of right there in the diner, you know, and they're just kind of talking about life and stuff like that. You know, Nick is all like, "T, why'd you mug me?" And T is all like, "Nick, why'd you bring me out to the middle of the desert?" You know, the kind of existential questions that inevitably lead a chastened man to plot revenge against a man that's been sleeping with his wife. You know, doesn't that kind of always happen when you're having breakfast at a random diner? Anyway, it turns out that T is actually not a bad dude. He's actually a pretty insightful dude, as a matter of fact. I mean, maybe he's a bit crude, but he's otherwise a nice and smart guy. He's just a little down on his luck, and, you know, haven't we all been down on our luck before? They kind of hatch a plan. What is this plan, you ask? Well, Nick decides to drive back to the city and break into his boss's office so he could steal money from his boss's safe, kind of as a revenge for, you know, sleeping with the man's wife. And T, because he's down on his luck and he could use some money, is like, dude, I'm gonna help you do that. Anyway, basically what it comes down to is neither one of these men have anything to lose, thus the movie is called Nothing to Lose. Anyway, from here, the movie takes us through a fun and funny road trip as our two heroes come up against some really zany characters, and ultimately they kind of learn that, you know, we're not so different after all, are we? You know, that's kind of how buddy comedies work in these situations. Like so many good comedy films, and I guess really just like so many good films in general, Nothing to Lose successfully blends a few different types of movies together. It's one part road trip comedy, so think of something like Rat Race or Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. My lady actually turned me on to that one, and please don't tell her I said this, but it's actually a pretty good movie. It's actually pretty good. And it's not like I said that on the internet, huh? But also, Nothing to Lose is kind of a heist movie. Now, normally it's at this point that I would say, Nothing to Lose is a heist movie, so think something like blah, 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 blah. But I guess this is kind of where it's different from a lot of other heist movies, because most heist movies are done on a grander scale. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, we're gonna go rob a bunch of casinos, or we're gonna go rob a bunch of banks, or we're gonna go rob Fort Knox. You know, it's always something done on a grand scale, because that's kind of where the kind of the parody of the movie comes into place, is like this difficult thing that you're trying to rob. Keep in mind, Nothing to Lose was released pre-Ocean's 11. By the way, when you think about it, Ocean's 11, the one that was released in 2001, kind of kicked off a resurgence of the heist movie. By the way, a lot of people don't know that the 2001 version of Ocean's 11 is actually a remake of a 1960 movie starring Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr., which was also about pulling off a heist. Anyway, I don't want to digress too much, but I will say that the 2001 version of Ocean's 11 is definitely a superior movie, but the 1960 version of Ocean's 11 has a better soundtrack by far. I personally have definitely listened to Sammy Davis Jr.'s song EO 11. It's like EO 11. Anyway, I've listened to that song on repeat so many times in my life. Like, the song is like a 2.5 or 3 minute song, and I've listened to it for like, I don't know, 12 minutes straight. I just love that song so much. You should check it out. You know what? As a matter of fact, I'll link it in the description, because the title of that song is kind of spelled funny. It's spelled like E-E-E-O and then 11, E-L-E-V-E-N. Anyway, it's all spelled funny, which makes it hard to find. So, you know, if you're interested, I'll link it for you. Anyway, I digress there, which I have a tendency to do, so I appreciate you hanging in there with me. More than anything, this movie is a buddy comedy, making it ultimately about friendship. And you know what? I'm a romantic. I like friendship. I like movies about friendship. That scene, when he's trying to put out the fire on his burning shoes, is still the funniest scene of the movie to me. I'm telling you, watch the whole movie and it'll have you in stitches, but that scene, I'm telling you, it's the funniest scene of the movie. It's fun to watch this movie with modern 2020 era eyes and play every movie buff's favorite game, Who's That Actor Anyway? Don't steal that away, I might use it. As a matter of fact, Let's use it right now. Question number one. Who was Nick's boss that apparently was sleeping with Nick's wife, played by Michael McKean? Who was that actor anyway? If you guessed it was Jimmy McGill's brother with a severe case of electromagnetic sensitivity from Better Call Saul, you are correct. Give yourself a hand. All right. Great job. Great job. All right. All right. Settle in. Question number two. Who was one half of that idiot duo that was terrorizing Nick and T throughout this road trip, played by John C. McGinley? If you guessed it was the eccentric Dr. Perry Cox from Scrubs, once again, you are correct. Give yourself another round of applause. You're doing great here. You're doing great. All right, all right. The third and final question. Who was the other half of that idiot duo that was terrorizing Nick and T throughout their road trip? This time, played by Giancarlo Esposito. If you guessed Gustavo Fring from Breaking Bad, once again, you are correct. Oh my gosh, you're great. You're really good at this. You know what? He also would have accepted Jack Bayer from The Usual Suspects or Moff Gideon from The Mandalorian. But you know what? You did a great job. That was pretty fun, right? We'll have to do it again sometime. We're definitely going to do it again sometime. Anyway, let's wrap this whole thing up, okay? Nothing to Lose debuted at number 4 in the United States box office, and it had a domestic gross of about $44 million on a $25 million budget, so not bad. The movie made some money. The review website Rotten Tomatoes gives this movie a 28%, which makes it the worst reviewed movie I have ever covered on this channel so far. Ugh. Listen, I love Rotten Tomatoes. I really do. I know I make fun of them every week, but I really love Rotten Tomatoes. Are they a fruit? Are they a vegetable? Have they even figured that out yet? But I'm supposed to trust them with movie reviews? That's where we come in here at Random Casual Reviews. Here at Random Casual Studios, we give Nothing to Lose a review of 5 out of 5 Flaming Shoes. Oh, man. All right. How many Flaming Shoes would you have given Nothing to Lose? What else deserves our random casual treatment? Comment below, like and subscribe, and tune in next week for another episode of Random Casual Reviews. Thank you so much for watching. Again, I'm having so much fun doing this. Thank you for tuning in. I love you all. Have a great day.